My name's Joel, and I'm one of the pastors here at Missio. If you're new here and you're a guest, welcome. It's good to have you. We've been in a 40-day prayer journey as a church, and we're joining a greater network of churches called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And I'm praying through the 40 days of the beginning of the year. And each week there's a different theme. And this week's theme is the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to spend some time talking about Holy Spirit and just who he is and what he offers to us. But first, let me back up and kind of tell you some, just a little bit about what's going on in my life. Back in November, I decided once again to cut back on social media. If you've been around Missio, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with social media. If you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you've noticed that I've been pretty silent since November. And I haven't been liking or posting. I haven't really done much of anything. What I've done really is I've taken all those things off my phone again, and then I just kind of scan and post about one scan post every few days, just to kind of keep up. So it's not a total break. But one of the things that catalyzed that decision was my media feed became increasingly disturbing. It was really starting to get difficult to follow as I started to see an increase in messaging from a subset of Christians who spoke about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that didn't represent the gospel or the good news that historic Christian orthodoxy has taught us. I've heard a number of charismatic leaders claiming that Holy Spirit is giving prophetic words, but those words have actually spawned conspiracy theories. And instead of people knowing and coming to Christ and being unified, it creates chaos. It ensues violence. I've seen these leaders pray and curse other leaders that oppose their agendas, and it's just cringeworthy. So I backed off. I pushed away. I shut it down. And yes, I think as believers, and I think things that we've taught at Missio, it says we need to limit our consumption of this chaotic news. You know, the news cycle that goes 24/7 and the coverage that keeps coming, we need to limit that. But in my time with God in the last few weeks, in the last 40 days, I guess the beginning of the 40 days, and I'm hearing something different from God. And here's the warning that I want to bring to us. As we may want to push away from this subset of Christianity that I just described, we need to be careful not to push away from a triune God, where God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all part of our Christian faith, our Christian understanding. We must be careful not to push away from the Holy Spirit because of an aversion of what we're seeing or hearing in some of these other churches. My hope for us today is that we get a fuller picture of the Holy Spirit, why we need Holy Spirit, and how Holy Spirit works in our lives. So before we jump in and take kind of a survey of the Holy Spirit, would you join me in prayer and asking actually him to come and to teach us? Holy Spirit, as we come this morning, as a body of believers, we want to hear truth. We want to know who you are. We want to know who you are so that we can make you known to others. Holy Spirit, we believe, we want to believe in your empowerment. And we pray against the confusion that we've seen. And so today, would you come? Today, you are already here, but would we open our ears and our eyes to your word and have a fuller understanding of who you are? We pray in Jesus' name. So where do we start? Where do we start when it comes to the Holy Spirit? Where does Holy Spirit first show up in Scripture? The very first time we see Holy Spirit is actually right at the beginning, Genesis 1, 2. So let's take a look. Open your Bibles if you have them. It's right in the beginning, or it's on the screen here. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right off the bat, you see God and you see Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right at the beginning. The next time we see Holy Spirit mentioned is referred to in the Trinity in Genesis 1:25. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." We need to remember that Holy Spirit was in the beginning. He is an active part of the Trinity, Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, they created. Holy Spirit didn't just show up out of the blue, just in the New Testament, like a mighty rushing wind, bringing tongues of fire and empowering people to prophesy and heal. Like the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit was and has been active and moving since the beginning of time. In the Old Testament, the New Testament. He's still active today, and he will be active tomorrow. So why am I pointing this out? I'm pointing it out because some of us have come to mistrust the legitimacy and the work of the Holy Spirit. We see strange and chaotic moments where people claim to be filled with the Spirit, but when they talk about it, those expressions feel really weird and creepy, right? And it doesn't sit well in us when we see it. And so we start to push away and we start to kind of shut it down and say, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with that. But friends, we actually have a recorded history of how the Holy Spirit operates, what he comes to do and how he chooses to do it. Yes, Holy Spirit can be mysterious, but as we will see, the scriptures point out to a Spirit who is always bringing glory to God. Let's continue in the Gospels. The Gospels are the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the beginning of the New Testament, right? The Holy Spirit has an active role in the life of Jesus. One of the most visible images of the Holy Spirit is actually, and the Trinity is actually seen in Mark 1, 9 through 11. This is Jesus's baptism. And so in Mark 1, 9, we see this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came out from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This picture we have is the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, descending on him. In some translation, it says into him. In Matthew's account, the Spirit of God descends like a dove and comes, and it says it came to rest on him. In John's account, it says, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and remain on him. In all the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Holy Spirit came and stayed with Jesus from that moment forward. Why is this a big deal? Why is it a big deal that the Holy Spirit came to Jesus and remained with Jesus? In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, this is what we see. And we are going to go through a lot of scripture today, guys. But part of that is to make sure that we're working with truth about who Holy Spirit is, right? So Philippians 2, 5 through 8, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus, yes, he's fully God, but Jesus gave up his deity. He gave up his position as God, and he became fully human. He was a human being. He was like us, putting on flesh, feeling what we feel, sensing what we sense, and even to the point where he died. Jesus was fully human, but everything Jesus did in his ministry was through the power of the Holy Spirit. After his baptism, the Gospel of Luke says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. When Satan came and tempted him, it was the Holy Spirit's power that resisted the temptation, that helped him resist the temptation. It was the Holy Spirit's power that actually gave him the words to speak, to fight against Satan and his temptations. And he wins. Then we see in Luke 4 through 18, as he comes back out of the wilderness, Jesus announced his ministry. In the synagogue, he comes in, and it says in Luke 4, 18 through 19 this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You see, Jesus himself says that the Spirit of the Lord was on him. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has sent me, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, if you read through the Gospels and read through Jesus's life, these are all things that he did. He proclaimed the good news to the poor. He gave liberty to the captives. He gave sight to the blind. He gave liberty to the oppressed. That was the work of Jesus's ministry. Jesus lived on this earth, and he carried out his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit. God showed what he could do in a human being by his Spirit in the person of Jesus. Now, here's some exciting news. Jesus promised the power, that same power, to his followers. Jesus promised the same power to his followers. In John 14, 12 through 18, it says this. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now there's a problematic statement, I think, in here. And it's this: whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. You know, in the past week, I saw a video of a televised service where a pastor, he was in a prayer gathering in a large church. And they were praying, and this pastor, I'm going to read you the quote. I was going to show the clip, but it's so disturbing at the same time. So this is what he prayed. Father, those that have lied, those who have stolen this election, those that have cheated, I place the curse of God upon them. I curse you with weakness in your body. I curse you with poverty. I curse you with the worst year you've ever had in the name of the Lord. This is a pastor, someone who says they're filled with the Spirit and has prophetic words, and he prays this. Let me read it one more time. Father, those that have lied, those that have stolen this election, those that have cheated, I place the curse of God upon them. I curse you with weakness in your body. I curse you with poverty. I curse you with the worst year you've ever had in the name of the Lord. And you could hear the congregation praying in agreement with them. Missio, this is not what Jesus means when he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. You see, there is a second part to that promise, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not about getting what you want or what you desire. It's not about naming it and claiming it. It's not about cursing people and wanting ill will on them. Holy Spirit is working together with God, the Father, and Jesus to bring glory to themselves, to the Trinity, to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is working towards that end to bring glory. That moment needs to be called out as false teaching, a false representation of the Spirit of God. It's wrong and it needs to be condemned, because it's not the work of the Holy Spirit, because no one can say that glorified God in any way. Missio, it is okay for us to judge those moments. We can't just shut it down and walk away. We can't just say, oh, that's just crazy. That is going against the work of the Holy Spirit. That's going against the glory of God. All right, let's go on and look at verse 15 and 18. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you boil down the idea of commandments, it's really the two things, meaning love God and love others, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus offers the gift of the Holy Spirit to all those who respond to his call. We see this in Acts 2, 23 through 29, as Peter tells the crowds. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord your God calls to himself. Now remember last week when Dom talked about repentance. Repentance means that we have a shift, a change in our mind, in our thinking, that aligns with God, where we were able to think and repent. I mean, change, having that mind shift, that transformation in thinking to align with God's. So repent and be baptized. And when we're talking about baptism, it's an outward declaration that you have aligned yourself with Jesus, that you have surrendered and forsaken all other allegiances, all other idols, in order to follow Jesus. That's what it means to call him Lord, to have lordship, right? That Jesus is the King and we are subject to him. So our baptism is saying, I see you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I am subject to your will, to your desires. I align with you. I give up my idols. I give up my own selfish desires, my own plans, my own agenda to follow yours. So when we do this, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a helper who dwells within us and will never leave us. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus comes into our lives. Holy Spirit has an active role in our lives, in the follower's life. But we still have to surrender control to him. He isn't a power to get. Do you hear that? Holy Spirit isn't just a power to get so that we can get what we want and pray what we want, right? Holy Spirit is a person who wants to use us. And it's when we seek the power for our own desire, that's when it starts to go wonky. So as we surrender control to him and rely on his power, Holy Spirit then works in us as he did in Jesus. And in Jesus, this is what Holy Spirit did. He created the character of Jesus, which we call the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of Jesus, which we call the gift of the Spirit. So, Missio, let's take a deeper look at what actually, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, what happens? When we ask Holy Spirit and surrender to him, what begins to happen in our lives? In Galatians 5, 16 through 26, this is the passage of the fruit of the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is about unity. It's about love. It's not about conceit. It's not about provoking others. It is about the other. So our character is built up through the Spirit. The Spirit empowers us to be and produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's beautiful. It's what we want in our lives. It's the people that we want to be around, the people that exude this fruit. Not hate, not envy, not idolatry, not sorcery, not strife and jealousy. The power of the Spirit produces fruit in our lives. So we've talked about the character that Holy Spirit gives us. And now some of the confusing stuff is the gifts. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, before you were Christians, before you followed Jesus, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. You hear that? The same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowered them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. What's important to see is that the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit are for the good of the body. Yes, all these gifts are still available to us, but they are given to us so that we can build one another up. If you look at it, you see over and over in 1 Corinthians, It's the same Spirit, the same God, the same Lord, the one Spirit. Like, there's unity in that. There's an understanding that it comes from one place. If you hear people claiming to be filled with the Spirit and using these gifts in ways that don't align with Scripture, then question it. If people are claiming to use gifts in the name of Jesus, examine and see if it aligns with his character. If it's divisive, if it's hurtful, condemning in nature, question it. Friends, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We can ask him for discernment in these matters, all of these matters. If we ask him for discernment, he's going to show us. Because he has the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. They don't contradict themselves. Missio, when we look at the Holy Spirit as a whole, he does not create chaos and confusion. The goal of the Holy Spirit in your life is to empower you to live lives that glorify God, to glorify Jesus, to make him known, not to cause strife, not to empower yourselves and get what you want. Missio, my invitation to you is this. My invitation is that you invite Holy Spirit into your life. Surrender and yield to his authority. He works for your good and for God's glory. Jesus didn't leave us to our own devices. He didn't leave us as orphans. He gave us a helper, the same helper that empowered Jesus to live the life of character and power that he did. I invite you to take the time in the 40-day journey of prayer. This next week, it's on the Holy Spirit. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time praying and examining and understanding the word so that the fullness of the Holy Spirit would come and empower you to live lives of character and power for his good and his glory. Missio, my challenge to you is to examine the actions and the words of those who speak the name of Jesus, who proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit. Challenge it, sit with others, other believers, and discuss it. Hold it up next to the word of God. If it doesn't align, then we can say it's false teaching. It's okay to say it's false teaching. I challenge you to do the same with me, with Dom, with anything that is spoken from the front. That is the role, that's what we do as believers. We have to examine it against the word. But don't let false teaching push you away from leaning into the gifts of the Spirit. Don't let those moments that break your heart, that make you feel uneasy, that creep you out, push you away actually from the real work that Holy Spirit does in your life. I'd ask you to remember this, that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit were given to you so you could bring the ministry of Jesus to others, the good news of the kingdom of God to others. They were given to you to bring freedom, peace, and unity into your homes, your neighborhoods, into our city, into our world. Missio, I pray that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to move in character and power just like the Lord Jesus did. as I wrap up, I want to give you some time to align yourself with God, to remember your baptism in Jesus, to remember that you pledge your allegiance to God, that you aligned with him and you forsake the idols of the world, that you forsake your own selfish desires for the kingdom, for the glory of God. Take the time to surrender and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, inviting him to dwell within you, to lead you and to guide you through each day of your life. If you're here today and you're unsure of where you stand with God, or have questions about Jesus, or still have questions about Holy Spirit, would you reach out to me? Would you reach out to Dom or any of the staff? Use that chat box if you need to, or email us or call us. Don't let yourself sit in confusion. We'd love to journey with you. But yeah, Missio, would you take the time today, align yourself with God, remember your baptism, surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit for his empowering person to come and lead you today. So we're going to take some time and listen to this song and pray. It's short, but yeah, I hope it blesses you, and I hope you're able to walk out today feeling empowered as you invite Holy Spirit into your lives.